We have a guest speaker here, Francis and Adrienne, and their entire family are here with us from Uganda. They're going to make their way to the stage now while I introduce them. I'm not going to tell you a whole lot about them because they're going to tell you what they do. But I first met Francis about 5 or 6 years ago on a trip that I took to Uganda. Francis was one of the speakers at the pastor's conference that I was speaking at. And he just spoke with real authority and really challenged the pastors there with his life. And I thought, this man is doing something for God, a really unique individual. As you can see, Francis is in a wheelchair, but that hasn't stopped him. In fact, it's actually inspired a whole ministry called Father's Heart Mobility, where they have literally given away thousands of wheelchairs in Uganda. And so Francis is a gifted speaker. His wife is Canadian, as I understand it, went over on a mission trip, and her and Francis liked each other and decided to make it permanent. And so they're here in Canada just visiting family, and so we just had an opportunity to have them come in from BC and be with us this morning. We've had people from our church go and work with Francis. And many of you know Pastor Peter Kasarivu, who's one of our ministry partners. Francis is a part of that church in Uganda. So God bless you. Let's welcome them. And I think Adrienne's going to greet us as well.
Good morning, church. We're happy to be with you today. We appreciate the warm welcome that we've received so far. I was telling the first service, this is my first time in Saskatchewan, but I just realized during worship that I actually came here as a toddler from one of my great-grandparents' funerals. So I think I have some roots here somewhere, but I'm from BC. Anybody here from BC? No?
One.
Okay. There. My mom's from Winnipeg, but I think Winnipeg isn't you guys aren't fans of Winnipeg this weekend. Okay. All right. These are our children.
What's your name?
Hannah.
What's your name?
Katarina.
Katarina.
Okay, that's Katarina. And Elijah, are you going to tell us your name?
Say Elijah.
No? All right. Well, we do ministry together. Francis founded Father's Heart Mobility Ministry, and then I joined him when we got married in 2010. And it's important to us to work with our kids as well, and we have a team of staff and volunteers that we work with as well. So when you pray for us, if you want to pray for us, we appreciate that. And you can remember us as a family. Hannah, can you tell us what you do?
I give pumps and I help tighten the wheelchairs.
Okay, great. Thank you. And they help with that too. So each recipient of a wheelchair gets a pump to help pump up their tires when they get flat. And sometimes we have extras to give them, like books and so on. So the children help us with that. Did I mention there are prayer cards? Yes, they're at the back. So you could get one if you wanted to remember us in prayer. Thank you so much.
All right. All right, good afternoon. How is everybody doing? Good. Well, it's not every morning, game morning, that you have two players of the team in the room. I see another player here, and I'm one too. So it's not every day that somebody travels 15,000 kilometers to come and attend a game. All right, so I'm going to cheer for the team whose shirt I have. So go Riders, go. And I suppose there are friends here that would also cheer for their own team. But that's healthy. So that's okay. All right, so we are introduced already. My name is Francis, and you've met my family, and we are very happy to be here. We serve at Gabo Community Church. Several people have come through here from our church, including our lead pastor, and we're blessed to be involved in different ministries at church, and one of them is Father's Heart Mobility Ministry, in which we also serve. It's a ministry that distributes wheelchairs to people that can't afford them, and we also bring the message of the gospel to those people. Just giving you a few statistics for the ministry that we do, it says that about 80% of couples that give birth to children with disabilities end up in divorce because of the misconceptions that surround this whole topic of disability. And 80% of children with any mental disability end up dying before the age of 5, usually because of abandonment by their own families. 90% of children with disabilities do not go to school, mainly because they do not have means of transportation to get there. Many people believe even if they went to school, they would be useless anyway, so they don't get the opportunity to go there. And that answers the question why 80% of adults with disabilities are not employed, because they didn't have the opportunity to go to school while they were children. Uganda carried out a census in 2014, and the results were that 12.5% of the population in Uganda has some form of a disability, different disabilities. So that puts the population with a disability in Uganda at 5 million. And it is said that about between 700,000 to 1 million need a wheelchair or a pair of crutches to get around. The government doesn't provide that, and therefore many of them have ended up beggars or on the streets because they don't have a means of transport to either go and work or go to school. The misconceptions that we have and the worldview the general public has towards individuals with disabilities in Uganda is that they are as a result of adultery. And secondly, they believe that they are second-class citizens of Uganda. Some Christians believe that people with disabilities are demon-possessed, and that's why they have a disability. In fact, some regions of Uganda, they also put a stool at the back of the house, and they say the demon lives in their house. That's why they have a child with a disability. They believe that they are cursed, and as I told you, they believe also that they are useless members of society. So many are rejected, many are marginalized and abandoned by their own families. We reach out in the ministry in about 4 ways. We reach out by giving mobility to people who cannot afford them. And we've given over 10,000 wheelchairs since we started. Officially, we started in 2006, and over 1,000 pairs of crutches. So a total of 11,000 people that we've served so far. And many of these people have either been crawling on their hands and knees for 30 years, some 50 years. And I was telling the first service that this year we served somebody who had crawled on their hands and knees for 65 years without a chair. So we advocate for the rights of people with disabilities in Uganda. We train pastors and community leaders on how they can integrate people with disabilities into mainstream society and their congregations. But we also do what we consider the most important is we share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a slogan in our ministry that it's not just about the wheels, because we can get lost in providing mobility and forget to talk about the reason we do it, and that's Jesus. And so we share the gospel, and we've seen 2,600 people give their lives to Jesus, and we give the glory to God. So this year, our goal is to serve 2,200 people, and we are on track. Last year, we served 2,005 people. So this year, we're set for more, and our prayer is that it gets done. Our goal is to raise the esteem and capability among people with disabilities through partnerships with local churches. We do whatever we do through the church or the local churches in Uganda. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do the disability ministry? Well, first of all, we're just responding to God's call to respond to the need. Remember the scripture says in Luke 10 verse 2, and it says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so we're responding to that. We don't want to be lost doing other things and not being laborers in the vineyard. And number 2, we're responding to the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And so we're reaching out and preaching the gospel and reaching out to nations for Christ. So we preach the word in by the gospel in word and deed, and in every district that we go into. Number three, we do what we do because of the experience that I had growing up, suffering through childhood, crawling on my hands and knees to get around and to go to school, and the struggles of childhood forced me to make a decision that nobody should have to crawl. And number four, I believe that this actually, by doing this, that the church, not only in Uganda, but the church worldwide, has a solution to the world's problems today. There's a lot going on around us. There's so much going on in the societies in which we live. And we usually leave the solving of the problem to the government. What I've found is that usually by the government meddling into society problems, they mess it up. But I believe that the church has the solution to the problems today. And you know what the solution is? Jesus. And once we go on and share Jesus to the society is going to be transformed. And therefore, the problems that the society is facing today will be solved. Lastly, by doing this ministry, we've seen it strengthening the body of Christ, partnering with local churches wherever we go, sharing the gospel, and also ministering to the people across all religions. We've seen Muslims come to Jesus. We've seen local leaders who never wanted to do or anything to do with Christianity saying, "Would you come and serve my community?" And so we've seen the church growing. We've seen the church strengthened. Before we go ahead, I would want us to watch a video, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Amena gange nitwa Luganda Moses. Ndine miaka 18. Nga family yafe tinenge iga libavu. Nze ebiwa bena byo biji. Nze ndoza anti zena nenda mbe kuku mumbere yesimisa. Mama yanzana kende mulamu. Wenza aliko kende mulamu na naba uko miaka jitya ebiri. Wabula mtu da gwange ma mtono na suwo mubi emso ya duda aje twala bansala. Bansala nzenga sola kutiyama. Sobola kola chochona kensi ba sigalao ken kola chi kenambe blamba lao. Moze bakwenda kenyi.
People think people with disabilities are second class, they're cursed or bewitched, and because of those misconceptions, most of the people with disabilities are marginalized or left out. Someone with a disability is just a person. We need to realize that they have abilities and capabilities.
So Mbakova balekere to some like so to not live on Tungavo.
People with disabilities do not have access to mobility or cannot afford mobility. Without mobility, there's very little that people can do. When you receive a wheelchair, it just changes everything. It gives them a new identity. You no longer have to drag yourself in the dirt or the mud. You have the opportunity to be clean and be presentable. So you're basically free. What they need is opportunities for them to be able to explore what is available to them and what's out there for them, and also what is in them. And that's what transformation is all about.
But one of the chok when I want it was a romulem, what was the chichi in tune to chitio, yena muntu, ngavan avalam.
The abilities and gifts are there. What we need is to open up our hearts and minds to give them the opportunities.
All right. Thank you for sharing that to us. I'm just going to talk a little bit for the next few minutes on using our talents for the kingdom. And we'll be sharing from Matthew chapter 25, from verse 14 to verse 30. I'm just going to spend a few minutes here and just read that particular scripture. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, and to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come share in your master's happiness. The man who had received 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, in this scripture, Jesus likens the kingdom of God to a man that we just read about, who was going on a journey, and he called his servants, 3 of his servants or slaves, and entrusted them with the estate or part of the estate. So he basically made them administrators in his estate. And the servants, I believe, were the most trusted, because out of the many, he chose the 3. So in this parable, the people Jesus calls the slaves and the servants, I believe, are those of us who confess and profess to know Jesus and serve him. And the well-managed estate that was entrusted to these guys, I believe, is what Jesus is likening to the kingdom of God. Because he said, it will be like. And so he referred to the kingdom of God in many instances, as he was telling the parable of the virgins, he was telling the parable of the talents. He said, the kingdom of God will be like this. So back to the parable, this guy knew his servants very well. He knew each one of them and what they could handle. So he calls them and entrusts them with talents. And the Bible stresses that each according to his own ability. I believe in the same way for all of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior and call him friend and know him as our Lord and Master, he knows each one of us so deeply. He knows the abilities that we have. He knows the gifts we have. He knows the opportunities we have and the circumstances under which we live. And everyone or every person has been graciously given responsibility according to their ability. Amen? And I want us to notice also something here, that in this parable, Jesus' emphasis is not on the number of talents that were given to these guys, but the common accountability for the differing levels of responsibility that was given to them based on the individual's ability. So he did not donate these talents, but the Bible says he entrusted these talents. And I usually want to define words here because in Uganda, English is our second language. But I know it's your first language here, but I'll still define entrust. Now, to entrust is to assign responsibility to someone, or it is to give custody of. Not ownership, but custody of. So in the same way, we all have been entrusted with some property of the Lord's possession in the kingdom. Some have been entrusted with awesome spiritual gifts. All of you have those. Some of you have been entrusted with talents. Some of you have been entrusted with wealth or money. Some of you have been entrusted with abilities, special abilities that are not shared by other people. But I always tell people that even when we've all been entrusted with these, we're not in competition with each other. The way I speak might not be the same way Pastor Joe Wells speaks. Might not be the same way that Pastor Dave speaks. But I believe, as every one of us, we sometimes compare ourselves to others, and I think they speak better than I do. But that's okay. Why? Because we're not competing. They probably have been given 5 talents or 2 talents. They'll tell me at the end of the service, but I may be one that was given 1. But I need to deliver on that 1 talent, my friends. So, like the servants here, as Christians, with different capabilities and opportunities, we have or may produce differing results, even when we might be working with equal faithfulness and devotion. But it's okay, because we've all been entrusted differently. We've all been given different talents. But we have to deliver on those. We can't give any excuses for not delivering on what we've been given. So like the guy who was given the 5 talents and the one who was given 2, they did not produce equal profits, but equal percentages. They both doubled what they had been given. So the one who got 5 talents and the one who got 2, the one who got 5 produced 5. The one who got 2 produced 2 or gained 2 more. So they each multiplied them. And then we come to this guy, and I told the first service that I think he's my favorite guy because I kind of relate to what he's doing here. So this guy, the third guy, or the third servant here, I call him the less talented guy. So he goes and digs a hole and hides the talent. Now, it wasn't new. Hiding those days was a common practice. So if you had a treasure, if you had a jewel or coin that had value, you would go and dig a hole and hide it. Because they didn't have banks then and did not have safety deposit boxes. So what they used to do is go, you dig a hole and hide the box with your treasures. Now, he didn't realize one thing here, that these were working resources. This was not money he was just supposed to keep. It was money to invest and do business for the kingdom. So hiding working resources in the ground was not a sensible way of doing business. So, I mean, some of us are businessmen and women in this way, and I am one of them. Now, all of you might know some of the businessmen in this church, and I am not a businessman. And most of the money I've invested in the past, I've either lost half of it or most of it. And I've just recently thought, I don't think it's my thing. I'd probably give up investing and maybe find a businessman and buy shares in their company. That might be a better thing to do. Not that I have a whole lot to do, but I need to multiply whatever I have. So what this man did, he protected what he had been given. He protected the talent that he had been given by the master. He did not use it for kingdom profit, for his master's profit. But even with the few talents, even with the one talent, he had the same obligation to use what he had been given to maximum ability, or with maximum ability. But he did not. The master comes back and all of them begin giving account of what they had been given. The one guy who got 5 talents and the other one who got 2 began to give account. The one who got 5 and the one who got 2, they had doubled what they had been given. Master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." The master was happy with them. But remember here, when we read those words, that the master commended the character of the two men. Not the fact that, oh, they multiplied what they had been given, but the character that was exhibited here in the excellent service. And he calls them good and faithful. So he commended the faithfulness. They were faithful in using what he had given to them. Now, the less talented guy comes and he starts complaining, like most of us do. He says, "I kept it. I stored it for you. Here is what belongs to you. Reason being, I knew you were a hard guy. You are a hard man. You harvest where you didn't sow and gather where you do not scatter seed." Man, this guy was angry. But I call that character assassination. The master gave him, or entrusted him, with what he needed to invest. But instead of investing it, he began complaining about the master. He thought the master was at fault. I think that this guy thought the master was dishonest. He thought it was unfair and unmerciful in what he was doing. The master calls him lazy and wicked. This guy made absolutely no efforts to use the talents that he had been given. He simply disregarded the stewardship that he had been given. He instead disapproved the master's character as a hard man. He charged his master of being dishonest. He was guilty of that, he thought. He simply wasted his abilities in gifts and opportunities. Now, that's not the way God expects us to do kingdom business. Each one of us has been entrusted with something to use in the kingdom. Unfortunately, many of us are like this man, and we complain. We compare ourselves to the other. "Because I am not as anointed as so-and-so, and I don't have the kind of money that so-and-so has, or the gifts that the other person has, or the opportunities that they have, I probably don't fit to, I'm not fit to do anything." And I find people in Uganda who say, "Well, if I had a big car, I would drive 8 hours away and share the gospel to the glory of God." But who knows, even if you have it, you probably won't if you're one of these less talented people I'm talking about. But we all have the mandate to use the much that we've been given, or even the little that we have been given. And sometimes we blame God for one thing that he didn't give us, or two things that he didn't give us, and give it to the other person. I have talked to many people in Uganda that don't like the families that they were born into, don't like the places that they live, they don't like the kind of country that they were born into. One young man was talking to his mother, and he said, "Where were you looking when the rich guys were passing you by and you went and said yes to the poorest guy?" Because they think if they were born into a rich family, they'll probably be doing good stuff for the kingdom. And I've talked to many people who think that they were given garbage. They think that we're given rubbish, especially those with disabilities like me that believe they were not given anything to use in the kingdom. I call that the temptation of the less talented. Instead of looking at what you've been given, you look at what you were not given. And I'll give you a little bit of my story here as we wrap up. For you to tell, was I given 5 talents, 2 talents? Was I given 1? Or as people have told me before, have I been given garbage? When I was born like any other child in Uganda. And when I was 3 years old, I got polio. I crawled on my hands and knees because my legs were too weak to hold me, and I didn't have a wheelchair to get around. They bought a big bicycle in Uganda, and my older brother would drive his leg through the frame and hold the seat under his armpit and hold the handles with one hand. He rode the bicycle lopsided because he wasn't big enough to sit on the seat. And he held the bike, and I would get on the back, and he would ride me to school. But because he was riding the bicycle lopsided and awkwardly, we fell so many times, as you can guess. So going to school was really hard. And because we fell so many times, people helped us for a little bit, the neighbors, when we fell, to put me back on the bicycle. But because they did not believe that going to school was going to make me any better, I was useless anyway, according to what they thought. They thought it was a waste of time for me to go to school. And they stopped picking me up to put me on a bicycle. So I had to figure out how to get onto the bicycle when we fell down. They said, we told your parents not to take you to school, and they're taking you now. They're going to end up with 2 crippled children. You already are crippled, and now your brother, who is no more, is also going to end up being crippled. So they stopped and gave up on us. So going to school was hard. Growing up was hard. People told me I'll never work. I'll never be able to go to school. They said I'll never be able to get married. And they said, even if a young lady has mercy on you and you get married, you will never have children. I got my first wheelchair when I was 12. And that gave me a lot of independence, and I was able to visit people I wanted to visit. And I was able to go to school and go to church. And that's when my turning point came, because I received the message of our Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Jesus in my life and in my heart. I began to learn what the Word of God said about me, and I began discovering my new identity in Christ. Something we've been singing about this morning. I was a child of God. I am a child of the King. And as a child of the King, it didn't matter what people said about me. It didn't matter what people thought I could do or not do. What mattered was what God said I am and what He said I could do. I also realized as a kingdom child that I needed to be about kingdom business. I had no time to lament. Oh, poor me, because I was born in a poor country and I have a disability. I'm supposed to be useless. There was no time to lament, because I realized from Scripture that even with the circumstances I was in, I could do things. I could do things for the kingdom. I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So whatever God gave me, I have learned to invest for kingdom profit. It might be 1 talent. It might be garbage, but it's all invested for kingdom business. And that's what I want to see for other people that we serve. God loves people with disabilities. God loves you and I. It doesn't matter the circumstances and situation you're in. God loves you, and He has a purpose for you. He wants you to get saved, and not only get saved, but be equipped for kingdom business. And that's what I desire for the people that we serve every day, that they will grow up to discover the purposes that God has for them and also be equipped for kingdom business. Many people would think that I was given garbage. Many people would believe that I was given maybe 1 talent. And I believe I was given a talent. But I always tell people, even if I was given garbage, it's okay. And you know why? Because I come from Uganda, and Uganda is an agricultural country. And we use what we call manure. You know what I'm talking about? And I know Saskatchewan doesn't sort garbage, but in BC, they sort garbage. Okay? I need to talk about the province where my wife is from, okay? So, she's from BC. They sort out organics, recycle, and the other trash. Okay? My friends who are here today, I want to encourage you, as you think through your garbage today, sort it out. That which is meant for trash, throw it in the trash. That which is meant for recycle, recycle it to encourage other people. That which is meant for organics, let it stink for a little while. Create a testimony that you will share tomorrow. You know what we do with that stinky stuff? We grow bananas. And we throw that in the bananas. The stinkier that manure, the bigger the bunch. And so I've learned to throw my stinky stuff on that plantation in the kingdom of God, and I'm expecting big bunches, my friend. So even if you were given garbage, put it to work. But I believe that many of us have been given something to invest in the kingdom. And for many years, I was one of those people who said, can someone do something about these people who are struggling, crawling and dragging themselves in the dirt? The more I complained, the more people I saw that were dragging themselves in the dirt. I got angry and I thought, can't someone do something about it? Until I realized I was actually that someone I was looking for. That's why I couldn't find anybody. When I stepped up and I realized also that there are no bystanders in the kingdom of God. I had no excuse. I am in a wheelchair. Society thinks I am useless. But my God thinks the world of me. I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. He created me for a purpose, and I need to use that purpose for the kingdom of God. I wasn't about to be a modern bystander and take selfies with people who are drowning and do nothing about it. Many of us would not want to be that kind of bystanders in the kingdom. Besides, there are no bystanders in the kingdom of God. And I have no reason to be a bystander. What I've known is that I've seen it in my church, I've seen it in my country, that God is busy using Christ-like people to transform the societies in which they live. And I believe all of you who have been given something need to put it to work. Put it to use. My question today as I end is, what have you been given, my friend? Several of you have good lives. Several of you have gifts and talents. You have good countries in which you live. That many people in Uganda would die coming here than living in their own country. Not only Uganda, but every African country. They think that some of us who have the opportunity to come here and go back are probably foolish. Why would you have the opportunity to come here in the land flowing with milk and honey and go back to an African country? But I believe God has called me there. He's given me the opportunities under the circumstances I live to change the land that I live in. Can you do something with your gifts and your talents? The kingdom privileges you've been given and the opportunities that you have. We can't just afford to sit down and sit in those pews and feel comfortable and do nothing for the kingdom. What excuses have you been given? There are no excuses whatsoever for any one of us. Because even for me, I have a disability and society considered me a second-class citizen of my own country. I live in a poor country. But God has used the few things that He gave me to benefit the kingdom and to draw many people into the kingdom. You too can, my friend. My last statement today is that it's out of Scripture. To whom much has been given, much is required. You and I are going to give account for those things that we've been given. What would you say to the Lord? What have you done
with what he has given you.
May the Lord bless you so much. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come here. And God bless you.
Awesome, Francis. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Have you been provoked? I think we've all been challenged this morning. Well, why don't we just close in prayer today? And let's just go before the Lord in our own hearts and just ask the Holy Spirit, are there excuses that I've been making in my life that are holding me back from giving the talents that you've given me? And let's just in our own hearts respond to the Lord and say, God, here's where I'm going to invest. And even ask the Lord, where is it that you want me to invest? And I know that God will show us. Father, I thank you for Francis. I thank you for him and his wife and the passion that they live their lives with, the ministry that you've given them. I thank you for how they have invested the talents that you've given them. And God, would you give them many, give them much more? Even as the story that he shared, we saw that you gave more to those who had invested. God, expand their ministry, expand their reach, expand their influence. We pray in Jesus' name. And God, as we look at our own lives this morning, Lord, many of us in this room, we know we've been given much. And Lord, if we're not utilizing it the way you want us to utilize it, God, give us the courage to invest. Give us the courage to respond to the challenge. Show us how. Show us where.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that all the lies of the enemy, all the excuses that have paralyzed the people of God, I pray that they would be broken off this morning in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that we would be a church of investors in Jesus' name. That there would be no bystanders in this church. That we would be people that would grab a hold of the call of God and live our own call to the best of our abilities.
Thank you, Lord.
Help us, Lord, to do it. Help us, oh God, we pray.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. Amen.